Those kind of songs are the songs that we need. The world wants to push their music off on us. And songs with doctrine, songs with the gospel, those are the kind of songs that we really need. Well, I gave an update a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to just kind of follow up with a couple of things. Just to let you know what's going on in Albania, Bonnie and I appreciate your support, your prayers, and we always feel so welcome when we come back and that you all have been praying for us, and we're just, I don't know, overflowed with joy when we come back and just meet you all again. And again, thank you for your prayers and support of this church. It's such a blessing for us. Attendance has been good in our work since the COVID. It's gone down, it's gone up, but we've seen God do some things in some lives of some young people and families. Some people have come and gone, but we've seen God have a steady core of people that we now have. In fact, while we're gone, those people have been doing the preaching. The men have been doing the preaching and taking care of things. We have ladies taking care of the children, and it almost feels like that we could walk away and they would continue on, and they would, but there's still some things we need to take care of there. But we're hoping to go back at the end of December and continue on until the Lord sends us back. But there's a lot of work to be done there. We discovered something that really works, and it's probably, you say, well, duh, you know, on that one, but one-on-one discipleship is something that really works there. I've tried to group discipleship and things, but we found one-on-one drinking coffee. Bonnie does it many times on the computer with WhatsApp and does it with the ladies. I try to meet with the men one-on-one at the church. That's been working very, very well. You know that last summer we had our VBS and just flooded the church with people. We almost didn't have any more room for them. But because of that, we still are having an effect on the people. We've started a Sunday night service, which we did not have before, and we've been able to minister to some of the young men and ladies in our neighborhood. We moved from a place that was not real conducive to have a church building, is by a busy highway, to a place called Chole, and it's a poorer neighborhood, but there's just wall-to-wall people, and never had a church in that area in our city, and it's been very beneficial. So we've been reaching people like that, and so praise the Lord for that. We've seen a few saved, a few baptized this summer, and so we thank the Lord for that. One thing Brother Chris had mentioned, which was very interesting, I'd never seen it before, but when he said Paul was a tent maker, which we all know, and who do you sell tents to? You sell tents to transient people that are just passing by. And he said Paul would probably preach the gospel to them during that time. Well, the Lord has opened up an opportunity that you all know something about, is a shelter for the trafficked girls and abused girls, and Bonnie is able to go there and really minister to those girls in that shelter. But most of the time, and we're able to bring them to church also. We were down to 3 when I left. Now they're back up to 7. They're all coming to church. And we're able to minister to them. Many of them get saved. And some are still in the shelter that continue to come to church. But one of their goals is to transfer them back to their city where they were and help them to start their life all over again. So as they get saved, it's a ministry, maybe not church building, but it's a ministry of planting these young ladies back to their city as saved and baptized young girls and helping them to find a church. And so it's kind of a collateral thing. While we're trying to plant a church, we're also able to minister to these girls, see their lives change. I mean, if you could imagine, if you could hear some of the stories, the heartbreaking stories behind these girls, and then to see them get saved and us able to see them walk with the Lord. One of the girls had to move back to a city called Elbasan, and one of our ladies in the church is discipling her through online, through WhatsApp. So it's been a blessing in that sense. If you have any more questions or anything, talk to Bonnie and I after church. We'll tell you some more, but we're just plugging on. We're keeping on and trusting the Lord to plant a a Berean Baptist church there in Vlora, Albania. Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Preaching here in America, now I haven't done it since I've been back, is a lot different than preaching on the mission field. I can preach in Albanian. I can preach in Albanian, and it's not pretty most of the time. The grammar is horrendous. It goes on forever, and I'm bad at English grammar. So you can imagine trying to get Albanian grammar. But I normally preach through a translator, and so it's hard to transition. I normally do 2 to 3 pages on my notes because you say something in English, and then he says it in Albanian, English, Albanian, so it's half the time. So I normally have about 3 pages. So tonight I got 9. And we'll see. I don't know how far that's going to take us, but we'll see. And then some of the other problems that you have when you preach through a translator, and I preach through a translator again so I can express myself better because I'm a little bit limited yet on my Albanian. Bonnie's very good. She could preach if I'd let her. And in fact, I let her translate for me one time, and I said one sentence, and she went on for 10 minutes. And I said, I know that's not right. And she said, well, I'm just explaining what you just said. So I said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. But when you use idioms in another language, I mean, that's when you get in trouble. I've totally lost my translator at many times. Sky is the limit. If you can imagine saying that in another language, what's that mean? Sky is the limit. Slicker than the greased hog. You know, when you say stuff, I don't mean to beat a dead horse. You know, they just don't understand all of that. And so I try to express myself through that way. But, you know, it's amazing how the gospel can be communicated secondhand, you know. And so, praise the Lord, we're trying to keep preaching the gospel and plugging on. Let's all stand, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And I just want to encourage you tonight and give you a challenge in some areas of our lives. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when you shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Father, I pray that tonight that you would just take out of these words, Lord, out of your word, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us to be more like Christ and to tell others more about Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was younger, many of you may remember this movie, A Thief in the Night. Anybody remember that? Back in the day, way back in the 70s, 80s. Some of you are older or younger and you still remember because it's still going on. But I remember it scared me to death first time. I was saved when I first saw it, but it still scared me in that nobody knew. And we know that. Nobody knows the day that the Lord will come back. And they acted like not even believers would know when the Lord would come back. And we don't, but we know when it's getting close. Now, I was of the impression that in the 70s and then the 80s and then the 90s, We could see things happening, and we were aware the Lord could come any moment. But never have I seen it more than what we see today. Amen? I mean, it's very, very close. So what the Lord wants us to do, I believe, is that we are not in darkness, and we need to be aware. In fact, I named this sermon, "We Are Not Unaware." I told my wife, I said, if I said to you, "I am not unaware," what would you say? I was checking the grammar, you know. She said, "Well, that's a double negative, but if you want to make an impression, you can say it." So we are not unaware that the Lord could come back anytime. You know, physically, in our physical life, we have to be aware of things that happen. And I can use Albania as an example. Anytime you drive, and I don't know how it is in Spain or Chile, but anytime you drive, I've always said you need six eyes. You need two up here, you need two back here, you need two over here, because they are trying to get you. They're coming after you. Ask Brother Ben. He's been there. He's driven with me. And they're like they're coming after you. So you have to be aware at all moments, no matter where you are, if you're on the sidewalk, if you're riding a bike, if you're driving, you have to be aware. I remember when we were driving in Germany, Pastor was with us, and he would point out, "You see that up ahead?" I said, "Yeah, I see it." And we'd go on. He said, "You see that up ahead?" I said, "Yeah, I see it." And he mumbled something like, "Well, then why don't you do something about it?" And I've been in Albania. I know what, I knew what was coming. It was a mile away. I was watching. I could see it. But I was aware, being aware. And there's a character quality called attentiveness. It's being aware of things that are going around you that you might have the proper response. And we need to be aware tonight, or we should be as Christians, as believers, that the Lord could come back anytime. We are the children of light. We're not the people walking around in darkness. They don't know Christ as their Savior and that He's the only hope for us. They don't know the joy that is in serving Christ and walking in truth. They don't know that there's a heaven waiting for those that put their trust in Christ and Him alone for their salvation. They don't know the eternal punishment, that if they reject Christ, that they're going to go to hell and if they deny God. They don't know that, but we know it. Amen. We should know it, and we should walk and be aware that we know that Christ could come back anytime. Imagine walking into a dark room. And somebody said, I guess Pastor said he likes to sleep with it dark or light. I don't remember. I like total darkness when I sleep. I like it where if you wake up, you think, where am I? There's nothing to fixate on or anything. Where am I? I like that dark. My wife likes it light. She turns on the closet light, the hall light, the kitchen. So guess what? It's light at night in my house. So that's just the way it is. But they're walking around in the darkness. They don't know. But it's our job. You know, one thing, and I've heard Pastor Abel say it, I've heard other preachers since I've been here say it, what it ought to encourage us to do, knowing that the Lord could come back anytime, is to tell others Amen. About Christ, is to be more evangelistic, be more aggressive in telling people about Christ. When I was a young man, I don't know how young men actually get to be my age, because when I was a boy, I did so many silly things. We had this farm, 160-acre farm. We were caretakers. I'm the youngest boy of the family. I was about 10 years old at the time. And we had cattle. We had everything. We didn't have any chickens, but we had chicken coops. The chicken coops, because the land kind of fell off behind the house, it was level, and they'd go down. They'd have another building, and they'd go down and another. Had four of them. And we, as young men, me and my cousin, we would get on top. And we would walk with our eyes closed on these roofs. And they were flat. And we would walk till we met the next level of the next chicken coop. And it was fun. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, I didn't know it was there. Ha, ha, real fun. Well, as I'm walking with my eyes closed, I can just only remember this in my mind. Like this. And I'm falling. And I hit the ground. Boom. And my cousin said I was knocked out. He came around. He drug me underneath a tree. And, and so I lost my memory, too. He started talking to me. I lost my memory. That night, we're in the house. My mom and dad was working, and so then we're in the house, so they came home, and we were watching TV, and I was going to sit down, but I couldn't because I was hurting. Mom said, "What happened?" I said, I fell off the roof out there and I lost my memory. She said, well, I hope it knocked some sense into you. You know, nowadays we're going to run them to the hospital. Yeah, you fell off the roof. No, those we were tough back those days, you know. I was walking in blindness. I was walking in darkness. But we're the children of light. We can see what's happening. We are not unaware. We know what the Bible says. We know that Jesus is coming back for those that put their trust in him. We know that. Let's look in Revelation chapter 13. Well, you don't have to turn there because I got too many scriptures. I'll just read it. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand and in their foreheads, and no man, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him understand the count of the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. I'm not going to go into that portion of the scripture, but we know that coming up, as we see things happening worldwide, not locally, but worldwide, we know that this is all linked, I believe, to the tribulation. It's up to you to get the vaccine, but it's the control that they want to give to mandate a vaccine. And it shouldn't be anything, in my opinion, it shouldn't be anything that they should mandate, but it should be a free choice of the people. But because of that control, I believe they want us to do that. They want us to, they're like a rabbit. You throw out the food and he takes that one, you throw out another one, he takes that one until he's in the trap. And I think that's what's happening. We see it on a global realm right now. We also see the possibility of a cashless society. They've been talking about that for years. And in America, I carry very little cash on me. And I have this thing on my phone. I don't know how it got there, but I can look at it and I can tell every time my wife spends money. And it just pops up. I didn't put it on there, so I'm innocent, but I can tell. What's she doing there? What's she spending money? She's at Walmart again. I'm in Albania. Bonnie's at Walmart spending money. But the cashless society, the one world government, all of this. And I want us to see this and know that we need to be aware, because we need to be telling people about Christ more and more and more. Even here, I'm not even going to say that. Now's not the time to sleep. Now's not the time to be idle. Now's not the time to quit reading your Bible and quit serving. Now's the time to do more to tell others about Christ. During 9-1-1, when the towers were burning, I saw it on TV, the second one, and the fire department, the police, they were running to the towers. Why? To save people as much as they could before something disastrous happened. I don't think they knew it was going to fall, but they were trying to save people as much as they could because the towers were on fire. The rapture of the church age saints is imminent. The imminency of the rapture means it could happen at any time. The Bible says, Matthew 24, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord comes. But we know it's close. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Mark 13. Paul taught the rapture is imminent. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And Paul also said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let me read just a word of encouragement, then we'll go to my next point. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruption must put on corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So the Lord's coming back soon, I believe. I believe we're seeing it. We need to be aware. We got to be ready for the Lord to come back anytime. And we need to be busy. I don't want to be idle if the Lord comes back tonight. What else is something we need to not be unaware of? Yeah. What is something else we need to be aware of? We need to be aware that our enemy is Satan. We have an enemy now that we do battle against daily. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Listen to this. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We are aware that the Lord could come back anytime. And we are aware that Satan has devices and things that he will put against us to slow us down and to stop us. Satan is real and he's our enemy. He doesn't want the lost to be saved and he doesn't want the saved to serve him. He can't make us do anything, but he tempts us to do wrong. It's like a fishing lure. If you ever fish, you got that lure out there and he tempts you. And many people have latched onto that lure and they've gotten away from serving the Lord. We need to be aware of how Satan operates among lost people. An interesting concept I heard a few years back is that it's in Matthew 13. You can turn there. Matthew chapter 13, if you don't mind. When it seems like sometimes my preaching style has changed because in Albania, I'd go, I scripture, 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 because they need to hear the scripture. And I just, sometimes my sermon is just some scriptures I've written down and I only talk about that. So I use a lot of scriptures, but that's a good thing, I think. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And he spake many things of them unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. Thorns sprang up and choked them, but some fell among the good ground and brought forth fruit. Satan, and let's look in Matthew 13, 18, when Jesus is explaining the parable. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in her heart. One thing Satan does, he wants to snatch away the seed of the gospel from the people that you have sown it to. I think that's one reason why we talk about some sow, some water with prayer, and some get the increase. One thing we need to do is when we sow that seed is to pray immediately for that seed to take root in the heart of those people. Remember, while I was getting this together, Hansel and Gretel, remember they were throwing down the breadcrumbs so they could find their way home. And what happened? The birds of the air came and picked that breadcrumbs up and they were lost. They never knew how to get back home. We had pecan trees where I used to live, and before the pecans could get down to the ground, the crows would come up there and pick them, and they would be no good anymore. They just knocked little holes in them, but they would spoil the crumbs. Satan will, among the lost, he will take that seed, he will confuse the people, he will take it from their minds, and so we have to pray as we sow the seed. An interesting point in this verse 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. One thing I try to encourage in Albania, there is not a set way to get saved. God deals with us all differently, amen? He talks with us all. Everybody in here could have a different testimony, but we know Jesus Christ is the one way to heaven. So when I preach in Albania, I like to use this as kuptoi, besoi, pranoi, pendoi, and thoras, which means kuptoi is to understand. We have to first understand the gospel. And I try to be very careful when I'm telling people about the gospel. I try to be meet them where they're at. Tell them about sin. Tell them about God is how he loves us and how he sent his son. And help them to understand that. And then besoi is believe. They have to believe that. They understand it, but understanding is right here, but believing is with the heart. And then pendoi is to repent. Now, they don't say, I repent. Now, you know, it's not like that. It's a turning from sin. It is a turning to God with all of their heart. And then thoras. Anybody know thoras? I know Bonnie does. It's the call. It's the call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So they have to first understand. And as that seed is sown, if they don't understand it, then it does no good. And you see it how many times they would sow the seed and it would do no good because the fowls came by and took it. I have heard that as a young man, a guy told me, he said, yeah, the fowls, the demons, they like to hang out in the churches because the seed is being sown there. And that kind of scared me. But it's probably true. Demonic entities, wherever the seed is being sown, they're going to be present. Satan is active in the lives of lost people today, and we have to be aware of that, so we have to deal with them. Rock music, drugs, homosexuality, perversion, hatred, rebellion, black magic, and all of that, alcohol, that's all things that we have to battle through when we tell people about Christ. The Bible says, where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Got that light in front of that clock. There it is. I got 9 pages and I don't want to go too far here. And in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. We got to know that they're blinded. People of this world that are lost are blinded. But we have to pray that God would use us to plant that seed of the gospel to help these people. Why is it they don't understand? Why is it when we pass out tracts? Why is it when we talk to people, they don't understand? They don't hear. It's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I may have used this illustration here before, I don't know, but Satan attacks the weak. If you think about it, think about the roaring lion. Think about the herd of animals out there. If you've ever watched the Serengeti or you ever watch these programs on TV, how they try to call out the weak and they attack that weak one, the small one or the weak, the sick. And we have to watch it in our church and in our own lives. If you get away from reading the Bible, praying, get out of church, you're vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And he will attack you in that area. What else does Satan do besides trying to steal the seed? He has a hand in all false religions. We have to be aware that false religions are not of God. Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, the Catholics, the Muslims, Orthodox. I'm dealing with a young man right now. He's this close to getting saved. And so I started showing him out of the Bible. His family's strict Orthodox, which is basically Catholic. They wouldn't want you to say that, but it's basically a Catholic. And I said, how can you get saved? He said, well, I go to church and I do good works. I said, can you find that for me in the Bible? And he couldn't. So I showed him about being born again. And he asked me after church, talking about being born again. He said, well, I don't know, but I'll find out. So I guess he went and talked to his priest. And he said, here's what we do. Every year at the end of the year, we go to the Orthodox church with a candle. And he said, we light the candle. And then as we walk out, we're born again for a year. Yeah, he said, that's how we get born again. And then the next year we do the same and we're born again a year. I said, okay, can you find that for me in the Bible, that right there? And I feel sorry for the guy. He's a 17-year-old young man, and he went home to talk to his dad. He came back, we had coffee the next day, and he said, well, my dad said we've been Orthodox all our lives and we're always going to be Orthodox. And so, but I'm hoping as he gets older, he will be able to get saved and trust the Lord as his Savior and get away from that. And I told him, I just went at it this way. I said, you know what? I'm not trying to change you from being an Orthodox. I just want to see you get saved. And I think once he gets saved, God will work in his heart and he'll leave that religion. And not just religious things that Satan tries to put in our hearts and minds to deceive us, but things like helping the poor or giving money to good causes, making the sign of the cross. I see that all the time where I am. Helping someone in need, and the list goes on. Satan will try to deceive people. We have to recognize that, how they are deceived in their hearts. We have to have that discernment. Satan will continue to deceive. Satan will continue to do things against lost people to keep them from being saved. God is not impressed with Satan, and he will keep lying to you right up to your death. Now, how does Satan work among believers? One thing he'll do is tempt us to question the Word of God. And he started that in, "You shall not surely die." You know, God said, "You will die." He said, "No, you know, maybe you won't." But that starts a lot of questions in believers, that we start questioning the Word of God. That starts, that moves many believers when they start to question the Word of God. I've seen it much in Albania, but I've also seen it much here, is that many churches have changed their stand. I tell you, I'm so glad there were Baptists and Christians before us that held the line on doctrine of the Bible, on doctrine of everything that we have today, that there were churches before us that held the line. And it's our responsibility as this church, and especially you young people here, and once we're all us old fogies are gone, that you all would continue with the same doctrine. Don't get the idea, well, we're going to change this music just a little bit because, you know, the old people, that's the way they did it, but we need to change it. No, don't do that. Don't do it. We need to change the Bible. No, we have the Word of God right here. We don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change the standards. We don't need to change the music. We just need to keep following what we've been passed down and keep it going. It's a tendency that I've seen in my lifetime is to move the standards, move the landmark, is to move it. And we don't want to move it. We want to continue on. Most of the time, they'll hire, get a new pastor. I've heard it said every church is one pastor away from apostasy, which could be true. They'll hire a new young youth music leader to do this, to work in the church, and he'll take the youth this direction. And we don't want to do that. We have to keep going on. Because that's what Satan wants us to do, is to get away from the standards that we know. We have to know he's a deceiver. Things change little by little by little. One time I had a full head of hair, but little by little, I don't have that anymore. One time I didn't have this right here, and now little by little. One time I was younger than I am now, believe that or not. Fred and John Stever and others, John Lemon, Gary, you guys know that you're older than me, and so you know that one time we were all younger. You guys remember coming in on the stagecoach back in the after fighting Indians, and you remember those days. But it didn't happen overnight. We got older. And that's the way compromise will do. Compromise will happen. Satan tries to persecute us. He'll try to hinder us. He'll try to divide the church. I've seen it. I've seen it happen personally, up front. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, though. It's against Satan. So let me close with this, page 6. How do we deal with Satan? How do we deal with him? Know this. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. They overcame him by their testimony and the blood of Jesus. I remember, I can't remember who said it, but I believe the archangel Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world." Be aware, finally, that we are not unaware. We know that Christ is coming back soon, so we need to be busy about his business. Number 2 is that we are on the winning side. Amen. Satan is a lion. He's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, and we need to be aware of his every movement. And we can't be aware of him without being in God's Word, without being in church. Right. Lastly, I'll just mention this, is that we have to be aware that apostasy will come in the last days. And we see many people nowadays going away from churches. Again, we see churches going away from the standards and the doctrine that they once had. We see that. We need to be aware of it and be careful that we don't fall into the same the same thing. Let me close with a story, and try to tie this all together. I was out running in Albania down by the sea, and I had run about 1 mile, and I came upon a guy, and he was laying in the road, just laying. I mean, he wasn't in the middle of the road, but he's kind of by the curb, but he was just laying there, and cars were passing by. Some people were walking by, and I thought, isn't anybody going to help this guy? What are they going to do? I'm looking around. I mean, he's got nobody connected to him. So I ran over there, and I asked him, do you need some help? And mentally, he was a little off. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I helped him to his feet. And he was a little guy, but he was heavy. You know, you get a guy up. And he had a bottle of, I mean, it was, I think it's spoiled milk and something else in a bag, I think, is for him to eat. But he couldn't walk. He said, my leg's broken. And I don't know if it was broken or not, but he couldn't hardly walk. So I took him, and I said, where do you live? And he pointed this way. And he said, his name is Jerji. And so I'm helping him. I'm seriously, I have his hand here. I'm holding his bag, and I'm holding him. And for 45 minutes, because we'd go, okay, I hope this is his house. I'm doing this. And he said, okay, now that way. Okay, so we went this way, and it's dark now. And we got him all the way back into his house, and it was a house of squalor. I mean, you can't imagine. He didn't have any beds. He laid on the floor, didn't have any windows, any doors. And I got him in there, and I set him down in a chair and gave him his soured milk and his whatever, and said, are you okay now? He said, yeah, he's okay. So I left. I went back a couple of days later, got him some food, and put the gospel in there. But my thought was, when I did that, I know it was the right thing to do. You don't just pass somebody that's laying on the road like many other people. They passed Jerji. They passed him on up, passed him by. Nobody there to help him. But I tried to help him. I did what I could. What's a blessing is a few days later, somebody else from a newspaper or something saw him, and now the community helped him. But that day, there was nobody to help him. And that's the way lost people are today. They're laying in the middle of the road. They have nobody to help them. They don't understand. Jerji didn't understand much at that time, but I knew I had to do something. And so we have to see lost people and be aware of lost people and that we can help them because we have the gospel. We have to help him. I helped Jerji spiritually. I don't know if he had the mental capacity to understand spiritually. I helped him physically, I'm sorry. I don't know if he had the mental capacity to understand spiritually, but I helped him physically that day. But we, as Christians, need to be aware that we is our job to help people, to minister to their spiritual needs especially. Now, you might minister to their spiritual needs by doing something physical for them too, but it's our job. It's our job to minister, and let's be aware, because everything we do is a battle. Everything we do, Satan's going to try to hinder us, whether we're witnessing, whether we're reading our Bible, whether we're doing anything else, praying. Satan is going to be there. But praise God, Jesus is coming back soon, and we can take a rest then. Let's all stand to our feet.